Welcome to Zikru Daf Siman, member of Avram Goldar, and today we're Zekas Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Gimel, the 10th Perek Get Pashut. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asks, if the two-line gap, which invalidates a shtar, includes space between the lines, and Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak said, Mestavra Dehen V'Aviran, it's logical that it means them and their space, because otherwise, L'may Chazia, for what is the gap useful, since there is insufficient space for two normal lines of writing? Chizkiah said the gap must be sufficient for two lines written, b'ksav yad edim, in the larger handwriting of witnesses, not the smaller handwriting of a professional scribe, because one does not go to a sofer to falsify a shtar. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar said the gap must be large enough for l'cha l'cha, written one above the other, with each lamed jutting above the line and each chav jutting below it. Thus, he requires room for two lines and four spaces. Ulu required enough space for a lamed in the top line and a chaf in the bottom line, meaning three spaces, and Rabbi Avo only required enough space for Baruch ben Levi on one line, thus requiring only a gap as large as one line and two spaces. Point number two, Rav says that a two-line gap only invalidates a shtar, where the gap is between the text and the signatures of Obein Edom L'Sharta, but if the space is between the witness's signatures and Beis Din's certification, afil tuva nami kasher, even a lot of blank space is valid. The Gemara explains that the case is the metaitle, where he inks in the blank space so nothing can be written there. Inking in the space between the text and the signatures would not validate the shtar, because people may say, Sahadi atyutehu dechasime, the witnesses were only signing to testify about the inking in of the space, that nothing was previously written there, and not the actual text. This is not a concern for Beis Din certification, because Beis Din would not certify the inking in of a space. The Gemara asks that perhaps the holder will cut off the entire text and signatures of the shtar, erase the inked in space, and write whatever he wants there and forge signatures, since the shtar is already certified. The Gemara answers that a shtar written on an erasure must be certified by its signatures, not its certification. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Rav and said that if space is left between the signatures and Beis Din certification, afil shita achas pasul, even a single line is invalid. The reason is that the holder might cut off the text and signatures of the shtar and write whatever he wants and forge signatures on the single line of space above the certification, because Rabbi Yochanan holds shtar bahu ve'edav b'shita achas kasher, a document that comes with its text and signatures on a single line is valid. One cannot take advantage of the single line space between the text and signatures by cutting off the text and writing whatever he wants in the line above the signatures, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that a shtar whose text is on one line and its edim on the next is invalid. Although he could write what he wants and add signatures in that single line, which Rabbi Yochanan validates, and claim he wanted to increase the number of signatures, Rabbi Yochanan holds such a shtar must be certified with the upper signatures in the single line of text, not the lower signatures. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Gemara asks if the two-line gap, which invalidates a shtar, includes space between the lines, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Mestavra Dehen V'Aviran, it's logical that it means them and their space, because otherwise, L'may Chazia, for what is the gap useful, since there is insufficient space for two normal lines of writing? Chizkiah said the gap must be sufficient for two lines written, b'ksav yad edim, in the larger handwriting of witnesses, not the smaller handwriting of a professional scribe, because one does not go to a sofer to falsify a shtar. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar said the gap must be large enough for l'cha l'cha, written one above the other, with each lamed jutting above the line and each chav jutting below it. Thus, he requires room for two lines and four spaces. Ulu required enough space for a lamed in the top line and a chaf in the bottom line, meaning three spaces, and Rabbi Avo only required enough space for Baruch ben Levi on one line, thus requiring only a gap as large as one line and two spaces. Point number two, Rav says that a two-line gap only invalidates a shtar, where the gap is between the text and the signatures of Obein Edom L'Sharta, but if the space is between the witness's signatures and Beis Din's certification, afil tuva nami kasher, even a lot of blank space is valid. The Gemara explains that the case is the metaitle, where he inks in the blank space so nothing can be written there. Inking in the space between the text and the signatures would not validate the shtar, because people may say, Sahadi atyutehu dechasime, the witnesses were only signing to testify about the inking in of the space, that nothing was previously written there, and not the actual text. This is not a concern for Beis Din certification, because Beis Din would not certify the inking in of a space. The Gemara asks that perhaps the holder will cut off the entire text and signatures of the shtar, erase the inked in space, and write whatever he wants there and forge signatures, since the shtar is already certified. The Gemara answers that a shtar written on an erasure must be certified by its signatures, not its certification. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Rav and said that if space is left between the signatures and basin certification, afilu shita achas pasul, even a single line is invalid. The reason is that the holder might cut off the text and signatures of the shtar and write whatever he wants and forge signatures on the single line of space above the certification because Rabbi Yochanan holds shtar bahu ve'edav b'shita achas kasher, a document that comes with its text and signatures on a single line is valid. One cannot take advantage of the single line space between the text and signatures by cutting off the text and writing whatever he wants in the line above the signatures, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that a shtar whose text is on one line and it's edim on the next is invalid. Although he could write what he wants and add signatures in that single line, which Rabbi Yochanan validates, and claim he wanted to increase the number of signatures, Rabbi Yochanan holds such a shtar must be certified with the upper signatures in the single line of text, not the lower signatures. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Samach Gimel, and this was suggested to us by Mayor Rosenberg from Muncie, New York. He suggested that Kuf Samach Gimel is the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard is the military service and law enforcement agency that protects the nation's maritime borders and their waterways. So here goes. The Coast Guard searching for the sofer who wrote an invalid shtar, leaving a three-space gap with a lamed in the top line and a chaf in the bottom line, found a valid shtar in a bottle floating in the water that had a multiple-line gap between the witness's signature and basin certification, and a psak in a second bottle that ruled that a shtar with even a space of a single line between them is possible. Once again, slow motion. The Coast Guard, that must be learned of Kuf Samach Gimel. The Coast Guard searching for the sofer who wrote an invalid shtar, leaving a three-space gap with a lamed in the top line and a chaf in the bottom line, which reminds us, the Gemara asks if the two-line gap, which invalidates a shtar, includes space between the lines, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Mestavra Dehenva Aviron, it's logical that it means them and their space, because otherwise, L'may Chazya, for what is the gap useful, since there is insufficient space for two normal lines of writing? The Gemara brings numerous opinions, one of them being that of Ula, who required enough space for a lamed in the top line and a chaf in the bottom line, meaning a total of three spaces. So the Coast Guard searching for the sofer who wrote an invalid shtar, leaving a three-space gap with a lamed in the top line and a chaf in the bottom line, found a valid shtar in a bottle floating in the water that had a multiple-line gap between the witness's signature and basin certification, which reminds us, Rav says that a two-line gap only invalidates a shtar where the gap is between the text and the signatures of Obein Edim LaSharta, but if the space is between the witness's signatures and basin certification, even a lot of blank space is valid. So the Coast Guard searching for the sofer who wrote an invalid shtar, leaving a three-space gap with a lamed in the top line and a chaf in the bottom line, found a valid shtar in a bottle floating in the water that had a multiple-line gap between the witness's signature and basin certification, and a psak in a second bottle that ruled that a shtar with even a space of a single line between them is possible, which reminds us. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Rav and said that if space is left between the signatures and basin certification, afilu shita achas pasul, even a single line is invalid. The reason is that the holder might cut off the text and signatures of the shtar and write whatever he wants and forge signatures on the single line of space above the certification, because Rabbi Yochanan holds a shtar that comes with its text and signatures on a single line is valid. So once again, the Coast Guard searching for the sofer who wrote an invalid shtar, leaving a three-space gap with a lamed on the top line and a chaf in the bottom line, found a valid shtar in the bottle floating in the water that had a multiple-line gap between the witness's signatures and basin certification, and a psak in the second bottle that ruled that a shtar with even a space of a single line between them is possible. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Kuf Nun Tes. So the simmer Daf Kuf Nun Tes is a canteen. So here goes. The young man who took the canteen in camp, canteen, that must be learned of Kuf Nun Tes. The young man who took the canteen in camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather, which reminds us, a ruling was sent from Eretz Yisrael, which is meant to be, if someone sold his father's property but died during the father's lifetime, the son's son can take the property from the buyers after his grandfather dies, and this is something difficult to understand among monetary matters. So the young man who took the canteen in camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather told the camp rav that he could not accept edus from him about his brother's account because It's a Gezeres Melech, which reminds us, the Gemara suggests a case for the difficult to understand among Dinim Amanos is, if one signed a Shtar of Eidos for someone, Benasa Chasano, and then he became his son-in-law, he cannot authenticate his own signature since he's now disqualified from testifying about his relatives, but others can confirm his signature. The difficulty is, he's not believed about his signature, yet others are believed. The Gemara concludes that this is not difficult, Dilma Gezeres Melechi. Perhaps it's the decree of the king, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he cannot testify about his relative while others can, and not because a relative is suspected to lie. So the young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer, because he was inheriting his grandfather, told the camp rav that he could not accept edus from him about his brother's account because it's a Gezeres Melech, and was overruled when he sold all the nush from Bar Sisin, but claimed the sour candies were not really from Sisin, they were just called Sisin sizzling sour candies in name only. Which reminds us that there was a person who told someone, Nixay de Bar Sisin mizabninilach, I'm selling you the property of Bar Sisin, meaning the properties I bought from him. There was a property in his estate called the Bay Bar Sisin of the Bar Sisin estate, but the seller claimed it was not actually from Bar Sisin, but it was merely called that and not included in the sale. Rav Nachman established the land in the buyer's possession, requiring the seller to prove it was not truly Bar Sisin's property. Rav objected that the law should be Hamotzi Mechavero, all of a raya. Daf Kuf Samach. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Samach is the Kos Shel Eliyahu. So here goes. The Kohen kept samples of a Get Pashut and Get Makusher in his large Kos Shel Eliyahu. Kos Shel Eliyahu? That must be learned Daf Kuf Samach. The Kohen kept samples of a Get Pashut and Get Makushar in its large Kos Shel Eliyahu to remember how they differ, which reminds us, the 10th parak begins, Get Pashut Edim Masocho, in a straight star, its Edim Arsayin on the inside, at the end of the text, Makushar Edim Ma'acharav, in a bound star, its Edim Arsayin on the outside. The Mishnah continues, Get Pashut Edav Bishnaim, a straight star requires at least two Edim, Makusha Bishosha, and a bound star requires at least three Edim. The Rashbam adds that there cannot be any folds without a signature. If a Get Pashut was signed by only one Ed, or a Get Makusha was signed by only two Edim, it's invalid. So the Kohen kept samples of a Get Pashut and Get Makushar in his large Kos Shel Eliyahu to remember how they differ. Got easily upset and impulsively wanted to divorce his wife when she didn't know where he put the Kos. Which reminds the Gemara teaches that the reason a Get Makushar was instituted is because there was a place of Kohanim who were easily upset, who would impulsively divorce their wives in a moment of anger and could not remarry them after calming down. The rabbis instituted a Get Makushar, which requires time to prepare, so in the meantime they would calm down. So the Kohen who kept samples of a Get Pashut and Get Makushar in his large Kos Shel Eliyahu, to remember how they differ, got easily upset and impulsively wanted to divorce his wife when she didn't know where he put the Kos, and had three friends come over to practice writing their signatures between one fold and the next fold on the outside, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Heichon Edim Chosmin, where do Edim sign on a Get Makushar? Rav Huna says, Ben Keshu Akeshu, between one fold and the next fold. Rav Yirmi Yabra'aba says, Achrei Aksav Ukneged Aksav Mebachutz, behind the text, opposite the text on the outside. The Gemara clarifies that Rav Huna also means the Edim sign on the back of the shtar, but holds they sign between the individual folds on the outside. Daf Kuf Samachov. So the symbol Daf Kuf Samachov is a Kisei, a chair. So here goes. The Edim signing on a Get Makushar lying flat on a massive chair. Chair? That must be learned off Kuf Samachov. Kisei. The Edim signing on a Get Makushar lying flat on a massive chair were instructed to sign from the bottom up, starting at the end of the text, which reminds us, Rav Chisda explained that according to Rav Yirmi Ba'aba, the Edim do not sign parallel to the text in front. Rather, the Edim sign from the bottom to the top, perpendicular to the text. Since their signatures begin opposite the end of the text, it cannot be added to. So the Edim signing on a Get Makushar lying flat on a massive chair were instructed to sign from the bottom up, starting at the end of the text, and not to worry about anyone cutting off the bottom because no one in town named Yaakov signs like that, which reminds us. The Gemara asks that perhaps there'll be a clause in the last line which is harmful to the holder of the shtar, and he'll cut it off. Although he will likely cut off the Reuben, the first name of the Eid signed behind that line, it will still be valid with the remaining signature, which states Ben Yaakov Eid, because such a signature is valid. The Gemara answers that Reuben Ben are written opposite one line of text, and both will be removed if he cuts off a line, leaving him with only Yaakov Eid. The Gemara asks that perhaps it will still be validated based on the assumption that Yaakov signed the shtar. It answers that Eid is not written, and Yaakov alone is not a valid signature, or it's recognized that this is not the signature of anyone named Yaakov. So, the Edim signing on a Get Makushar lying flat on a massive chair were instructed to sign from the bottom up, starting at the end of the text, and not to worry about anyone cutting off the bottom because no one in town named Yaakov signs like that, and no one would use her father's name because if he wouldn't sit in his chair, he certainly wouldn't use his name. Which reminds us, there's no concern that a son signs using his father's name, even as a symbol instead of a signature, for that would be chutzpedek. Daf Kuf Samach Beis. So the Simur Daf Kuf Samach Beis is Kesef. So here goes. The silver coin sofer. Silver coin sofer. That must be on Daf Kuf Samach Beis. Kesef. The silver coin sofer used two silver coins to measure if there are two lines of space in the shtar before the witness's signatures that needed to be filled, which reminds us, Rav Yochanan says, Sarach sheyachzer minyano shel shtar b'shita achrona. One is required to repeat the basic elements of the shtar in the last line and not write any new information. Rav Amram explains, lefi she'enu lemedim b'shita achrona, because we do not learn anything from the last line. The Rashbam explains that Eidim typically leave some space between the text and their signatures, which would enable someone to add a fraudulent line into the text. Therefore, any new information contained in the last line of a shtar is disregarded. So the silver coin sofer used two silver coins to measure if there are two lines of space in the shtar before the witness's signatures that needed to be filled, and determined that the shtar was valid since there was only a line and a half of space, which reminds us, Gemara learns that a shtar with a line and a half of empty space is kosher. So the silver coin sofer used two silver coins to measure if there are two lines of space in the shtar before the witness's signatures that needed to be filled, and determined that the shtar was valid since there's only a line and a half of space, was informed by a rav that a relative of one of the parties can be used to sign on the shtar to fill up the space, provided there were other qualified aiding who had signed, which reminds us, the previous brisa continues that if a shtar had four or five signatures, v'nimsa echa mehem karov upasul, and one of them was discovered to be a relative of one of the parties or a disqualified aid, tiskai me'edus b'shar, the testimony is upheld through the other valid witnesses. Although ordinarily, if one witness in a group is found ineligible, the entire group's testimony is disqualified, here we assume that these invalid aidim sign only to fill an empty space left in the shtar and not for the purpose of testifying. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do the case of a house collapsing on a man and his wife and the heirs debating who died first? That's on Daf. Kufnun Ches. Good. Number two, which stuff do we learn that shtar with extra edim who are ineligible is still valid since they were used only to fill up the empty space? That's on Daf. Kuf Samach Beis. Good. Number three, which stuff do we learn that one can inherit his grandfather directly, not through his father? That's on Daf. Kufnun Tes. Good. Number four, which stuff do we in Rabbi Yochanan holds that even a single space between the Adim signatures and based in certification is invalid? That's on Daf. Kuf Samach Gimel. Good. Number five, which stuff do we in according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, Adim sign from the bottom of the star running upwards? That's on Daf. Kuf Samach Aleph. Good. Number six, which stuff do we in the Rav holds a gap between the Adim and based in certification is valid, even multiple lines? That's on Daf. Kuf Samach Gimel. Good. Number seven, which of the one of the signatures of the witnesses were distanced two lines from the text, the shtar is puzzled. That's on Daf. Kuf Samach Beis. Good. Number eight, which of the one that a get makusha was instituted by the Rabbanan to hopefully calm down Kohanim, who would impossibly want to divorce their wives. That's on Daf. Kuf Samach. Good. Number nine, which of the one that the gap of two lines means henva aviran, the lines and their airspace, further defining the gap size. That's on Daf. Kuf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we makos where Adim sign on the get makusher? That's on Daf. Kuf Samach. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Golder from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.